You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the THE podcast. I'm Naomi Furst and this is the first of our special General Election 2019 podcasts, in which we'll be looking at how the election affects higher education. Today I'm talking to THE's Deputy News Editor, John Morgan, at the THE office in London. So, the election is just a few weeks away and the manifestos are finally out. John is going to talk us through what the main parties are pledging in terms of higher education in England and the policies that will have the greatest impact on universities, academics and students. So, John, you've spent the last few days buried under a mountain of manifestos, not an envious task, and I imagine you've seen a lot of pledges that you expected. But have there also been any major surprises?
Well, Naomi, probably no major surprises, but there are still some really big unanswered questions and a very clear battle of ideas over higher education. In terms of the big unanswered question, we still don't know what the Conservative position is on tuition fees and university funding, because all the manifesto says is that the Conservatives will consider carefully the thoughtful recommendations from the Augur Review on tuition fee levels. And also in the Conservative manifesto, there's a very interesting pledge to tackle the problem of low quality courses, which was expected but raises a lot of implications in terms of whether that would mean restrictions on student loans for courses that are judged to be below par on graduate earnings. As I said, there's a very clear battle of ideas in the manifestos. The Conservative Party takes a position that while it's positively framed about all the brilliant world-class universities we have, the Conservative position is clearly to be very sceptical about expanded higher education. There's a pledge to look at the balance of funding between universities and FE that's raised in the Augur Review. There's a pledge to tackle the problem of grade inflation and low quality courses. There's a pledge to strengthen academic freedom and free speech in universities. Mm-hmm. So it runs through some of the greatest hits that you'll see in the right-wing media in terms of scepticism about higher education in its expanded form in particular. Whereas in the Labour manifesto, we've got a very clear vision of education as a non-marketized good. So what the Labour manifesto wants to do is it wants to get rid of the market in higher education, and the pledge to abolish tuition fees is a massive headline part of that. But you've also got pledges to fundamentally rethink the assessment of research and teaching quality, and assessment in both those fields is kind of aimed at driving markets in various ways. And Labour also wants to transform the Office for Students from a market regulator to the body of the National Education Service, wants to end the casualisation of staff, and as the manifesto expresses it, in very succinct form, Labour will end the failed free market experiment in higher education. So Labour's got a clear philosophy there, and equally the Conservatives are clear in their philosophy, what they're trying to do in their new electoral strategy is target working class voters who voted Leave in traditional Labour constituencies to a greater extent. So to that extent, they're pivoting more towards further education and prioritising that and being quite sceptical about the merits of expanded higher education. And in terms of the Lib Dem position, the unifying philosophy there is that they don't want to talk about tuition fees. So all that Lib Dems, given their past traumas, all the Lib Dems say is that they'll hold a review of higher education finance to consider any necessary reforms.
Okay. All right, that's great. Really good overview. Thanks. So just to look a bit more closely at the Conservative manifesto, you wrote recently about their pledges towards the Augur plans. And that's the review, the post-18 review of education set up by the previous PM, Theresa May. Can you give us a bit more detail about what they're pledging?
So the Augur Review recommended, in terms of higher education funding, that tuition fees in England be lowered from £9,250 a year to £7,500 a year. And the review also said that this lost income for universities should be replaced by public funding from the government, but that funding should be allocated to subjects with the greatest social or economic value or with the highest costs. So it would be quite a big shift. And what universities were worried about is that the fees would be cut, but the replacement public funding wouldn't be provided. So it would actually pave the way towards a big cut in funding. And Jo Johnson, the former universities minister, who absolutely hated the idea of this big review, shared that fear. And when he came back as universities minister briefly under Boris Johnson, we can safely assume that he spent a lot of time trying to basically kill off the Augar Review's plans on HE. And people, you know, most people would have felt that at the time he'd been successful in doing that, but his spell as minister was pretty short-lived. So the wording in the manifesto is very vague. It just says, you know, the Augar Review made thoughtful recommendations on tuition fee levels and other aspects. We'll consider these recommendations carefully. I don't think there's any great support for the Augar recommendations on fees within government, and this seems like a rather vague wording, but potentially there might be other ways to alter the balance of funding between universities and FE rather than just what the review says on tuition fee levels. But yeah, this looks like a bit of a way of kicking the can down the road in terms of a government response to the Augar Review.
Okay, so pretty non-committal.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, another piece you wrote for THU recently was looking at Dominic Cummings' vision for UK science, Dominic Cummings being Boris Johnson's most senior advisor. Can you see any reflection of this in the Tory manifesto?
We certainly can. And to sum up the Dominic Cummings' view of science, he is an obsessive in terms of a particular view on science, a sort of Californian tech-influenced view on science. Basically, we can see from his copious blog that he penned in his spell outside government that Cummings sees support for science that leads to tech breakthroughs and valuable tech startups as the potential, you know, centre of a post-Brexit economy for the UK. So it's science is absolutely central to his political vision, and perhaps science drives his vision for Brexit because he thinks Brexit is needed in order to unleash this scientific revolution. And in the manifesto, you can see this in the pledge to focus scientific efforts on life sciences, clean energy, space, design, computing, robotics, and AI. It makes it really stark, this vision, in saying that they'll unlock long-term capital in pension funds to invest in science, creating a vibrant science-based economy post-Brexit. That is the Cummings vision, a science-based economy post-Brexit. And there's another Cummings obsession comes through in the pledge to reform the science funding system to cut the time wasted by scientists filling in forms. And since the Boris Johnson government started and Cummings came into government, he's been holding a lot of meetings with scientists, and this is one of the things that has come through, people lamenting the bureaucracy in the research system, and you know, filling out sort of impact statements, etc. Everyone hates bureaucracy, but what does it mean to say we will reform the science funding system to cut the time wasted by scientists filling in forms? The fear would be that that means you get rid of bureaucracy, but then you have people in government or people in government bodies having a greater say in what gets funded in research. But yeah, we can certainly see the Cummings vision coming through very clearly in what the Conservatives have to say on science in the manifesto. Good question.
Okay. And While we're on the Tory manifesto, is there anything else, of note within that for higher education? Anything else that you think academics will be particularly interested in?
I think there are big questions around what the Conservative pledge to tackle low-quality courses means. I spoke to someone from the Onward think tank, which is an increasingly big influence on Conservative thinking, and they suggested that it should either mean restricting student loan access on those courses where graduate earnings are deemed to be below par, or it should mean universities taking a share of the risk that people don't achieve what are deemed to be decent levels of earnings post-graduation. So that could be really significant for universities if they're going to be targeted on the basis of graduate earnings figures, and if Onward is suggesting these ideas, then it seems like a fair bet that Onward's proposals would be considered at the highest levels of government. There's also a big question around what the pledge to strengthen academic freedom and free speech in universities means. How would that impact on existing legislative and regulatory requirements around free speech in universities, of which there are quite a lot? Is this just sort of a response to coverage in the right-wing media? What will it mean in terms of any specific legislation here?
So, moving on to the Labour manifesto. Now, you mentioned at the beginning that, of course, one of the key promises we've all heard about is the abolishment of tuition fees. Can you just explain a bit more about that?
So, Labour have been very clear since 2017 that they would abolish tuition fees in England, introduce a fully public funded HE system, and also reintroduce student maintenance grants. And in the 2019 manifesto, that's costed at £7.2 billion, whereas in the 2017 manifesto, it was costed at £11.2 billion. And that's because since 2017, the Office for National Statistics has sort of reclassified the way student loans are treated in government accounts. So basically, a portion of the money that gets loaned out is now going to be treated as direct public spending. So that makes the current system appear more expensive than it did before. So Labour's plans to change the current system aren't quite as expensive as they were before. So Labour's plans look a little better on that score now. And as I said, it's part of a broader vision to tackle what Labour sees as the failed free market experiment in higher education.
Okay, and I mean, in terms of the, as you said, it's going to cost a bit less than they previously thought. And have they also outlined how they'd be raising the money to pay for the tuition fees?
From taxes on the 5% of highest earners and higher taxes on corporations, as Labour intends broadly to fund its spending commitments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what else is Labour promising for higher education in its manifesto?
It wants to get rid of sort of the current application system and introduce a post-qualification admissions system. So instead of people applying before they have their final grades on the basis of predicted grades, they'd be applying once they have their final grades, and a lot of researchers say that poorer students in particular are disadvantaged by the current system of predicted grades because they're more likely to be under-predicted. And so that's a significant thing that's in the manifesto that we would have expected. And there's also this interesting commitment in the Labour manifesto to end the casualisation of staff. So, yeah, we could see in there that they're seeing university staff as potentially a sort of fruitful ground for Labour in terms of its voters, and there's a conscious effort to attract them there.
And when they talk about casualisation of staff, can we assume that they're talking about not just professors who are on perhaps uncertain or slightly unstable contracts? They're talking about workers like cleaners, people who work in maintenance in the university buildings, that kind of thing as well.
It's not specified, but outsourcing and yeah, the conditions for university staff like cleaners have been a massive subject of contention, and you know, and that ranges through to there's different concerns about academic staff being on casual and short term contracts, but there are no specifics beyond that form of words in the manifesto.
Okay, but certainly a focus on workers' conditions in universities. Okay. So we talked a bit about how the Conservatives want to spend more on research and development, and I believe they're pledging 2.4% of GDP on R&D, which was, it's a bit of an old promise because that's something Theresa May was previously saying. But it looks like Labour has sort of upped the competition. They say they're willing to spend 3% of GDP. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
That's right. So Conservatives want to hit a target of 2.4% of GDP invested in research and development by 2027. The Lib Dems have the same, but at 2.4% by 2027 is an interim target, and the Lib Dems want to get to 3% as quick as they can. Labour have said they would hit 3% by 2030. So there's a pretty broad consensus around increasing research spending, and that has some quite big implications for universities. I spoke to Andy Westwood recently, who's a professor at Manchester now, used to be a Labour advisor, and he suggested that in the manifestos, what we're seeing is that from all major parties, there's likely to be a squeeze on per student spending on the teaching side, and that's going to be static at best, but likely to decline in real terms in the near future under both the Labour and Tory plans. But you've got this consensus around increasing research spending, so that means that universities' strategic focus might switch on to attracting research funding rather than subsidising research from student recruitment, as has been the case. So that's quite a big change from what we've seen in recent years.
Okay. And so you briefly mentioned the Liberal Democrats and that they're looking at similar spending to the Tories. Are there any other policies that the Liberal Democrats are putting forward that are a bit different to Labour and the Tories? What are the Lib Dems promising?
I think the big headline from the Lib Dem manifesto is that they really, really don't want to talk about tuition fees. It just doesn't even mention the phrase, just commits to a review of higher education finance. The Lib Dems have said they would bring back student maintenance grants for the poorest students. And I suppose the big thing that is different is the Lib Dems say that they would stop Brexit, so that would be a massive advantage to universities, as the Lib Dems argue in the manifesto. But that's about the sum total of it from the Lib Dems. It really is quite a traumatic point for them. When I spoke to Leila Moran, their education spokesman, a few weeks back, she said, yes, it was unlikely that the Lib Dems would get to a new HE funding policy before the general election, and that's how it's panned out. But the party is moving towards a graduate tax policy, so we might see that emerge in future period beyond the election.
And what would that mean exactly, a graduate tax policy?
They'd be getting rid of tuition fees, so you wouldn't have that headline upfront cost, which some people believe deters particularly mature students, and you could make the repayment system more progressive and slant it towards the richest, who might, you know, in theory pay back more than the cost of their education. So it's a way to get rid of any prospect of a market in tuition fees and potentially fund it in a way that its supporters would say was more progressive.
Okay. So I suppose, would it be fair to say that as it stands, the Liberal Democrats' policies for higher education are a bit thin? And as you said, that's probably quite intentional.
Yeah, I think it's just a point that they don't want to address. They don't want to bring back memories of their perceived betrayal on tuition fees, which caused them such political damage previously, and they don't want to make any pledges where they're going to get grilled on it, and it's just going to bring back bad memories for a lot of voters. So I think it's an area that they would rather avoid for the time being.
Yeah, it's a sore point. Okay, so we've covered the three main parties. Is there anything else of note you noticed in the smaller parties' manifestos, perhaps in the Greens or the Brexit Party, that's relevant for higher education?
The Greens, similar to Labour, they've pledged to abolish fees and introduce publicly funded higher education. Where they go further than Labour is in saying that they would write off existing student debt, so people who have been charged tuition fees and are repaying them. And yeah, the Greens say they would borrow an extra $94 billion a year to fund various spending pledges, including that. And the Brexit Party, they say that they would abolish the target to have 50% of people going into higher education. And that's kind of a curious point, given that that was something that Tony Blair talked about, but has not been a hard target for many years. And the Brexit Party also say that they would sort of impose some extra requirements around universities on free speech. It's clearly an issue that rallies a lot of people on sections of the political right, the idea that free speech is under threat in universities and that universities are biased towards the left. So the Brexit Party are seeing as that's something that's going to resonate with their supporters. But generally, the Brexit Party is going for a section of the vote that is very much non-graduates, but they see some merit in attacking or being critical of universities. They think that's going to appeal well to their audience.
Okay. And I mean, having looked at all the different manifestos, do you think there's anyone in particular that will appeal to those working in academia? Is there anyone that stands out?
I think there are things in the Conservative manifesto on science funding and prioritising science that would resonate with a lot of people. Equally, there are things in the Labour manifesto about ending the market in higher education and ending staff casualisation that would be supported by many academics. Overall, there's the Lib Dem silence. Doesn't seem like it's going to particularly appeal to anyone in working in universities, but their stance of hard opposition to Brexit, I'm sure, would resonate with some people in universities. Students, I think the Labour policy to abolish fees has always been about attracting a particular type of student or graduate voter. It was when it was in Jeremy Corbyn's leadership campaign, and it was sort of his first centrepiece policy that he announced in his leadership campaign. It's always been about, you know, attracting a student supporter or a graduate supporter. And that remains the case in the Labour manifesto. I think Labour increasingly are being supported by graduate voters, people who've been through higher education. So it will resonate with existing supporters. Whether it will appeal to people beyond that, I'm not sure. The Conservatives, conversely, I think they're increasingly targeting voters who aren't graduates. So I think for them, higher education and attracting the votes of students or graduates, that's increasingly of less interest to the support to the Conservatives, and that's reflected in what they say about higher education and the way they're very sceptical about the expansion of higher education.
Okay, really interesting. Thanks very much. I think we have just about covered everything that we can on higher education and the manifestos. So thanks, John, for taking the time to sort of extract and explain all of the relevant bits and pieces.
Thanks, Naomi.
And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to this THE podcast General Election 2019 special. There will be more coming. Well, we'll be looking at constituencies where students might be able to swing the vote, and I'll also be talking to some students about what they think is most important in this election and which parties they're interested in. So thank you for listening, and do make sure you keep checking our website timeshighereducation.com for John's up-to-date coverage of the general election, and look out for more articles in the weekly magazine too.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast. We'll be right back.